We had a dance theater mime troupe from Williams, Oregon, called Sticks and Stones Theater, had called us and asked about doing a performance piece before our show when we came to Williams. She gave me a brief description of it, so we said, yeah, great. But when I got there, it was so much better than I could have ever possibly imagined that it would be. And the piece basically started with some drumming, and the stage was set with a stalk of corn in a tripod, pretty barren. And the drumming beat would just be a single thing like this with a little bit of fills going in, and a little bit of sage was burned, and the stage was set. And then from the distance in the back, you could hear a thumping noise, and what it was these four grandmothers who were entering into the area that you were looking at, and their planting sticks were hitting the ground with that drum beat that all started to be the same beat, thump, thump. And they had built these beautiful masks that really looked like Navajo grandmothers with, traditional dress on, and they came into the area, wherever it was. We wound up taking them with us to five different or four different shows, and the grandmothers would dance around the corn and really gave you the feeling of their affection for the corn. And then they had different things in their hands. They spread some seed out. They smudged the audience, and they did all these things, and it was beautiful and rhythmic. And just about the time they were getting to their groove, the sheep, little kids came out, and they had sheep's clothing on, and they were crawling around there. So it was a really beautiful, traditional Diné scene. And all of a sudden, from the side of the thing, this big businessman comes on the scene, and he's got this big, oversized, grotesque white head and a big belly sticking out. It really looks like the epitome of materialistic overkill. And he comes in, and he's got dollar bills hanging out of his pocket, and he just seethes of disrespect and contempt and awe. You can just see the glow in his eyes because he knows that Big Mountain is full of resources. And they've laid down a bunch of blankets and things that are on the stage that, kind of represent Big Mountain. And he claps his hands a few times, and a guy rides out, and he says on the back, U.S. government, and he hands the grandmothers a piece of paper, and it says, treaty. And then the treaty says, blah, 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 blah. And the grandmothers just look at it and sort of discard it and go on with their planting. And then the guy snaps his hands again, and the BIA guy comes running out, and they all do a dance together to the beat that, of course, big business is setting. So BIA goes dancing along as U.S. government goes dancing along. And then he claps his hands again, and they go and they start taking the grandmother's planting sticks. Or first he holds up a sign that says, Relocation Act of 1974, you must go. And the grandmothers, of course, respond, no. So then he claps his hands, and they go and they run. They start taking the sticks away. They knock down the corn. They herd up the sheep. They put up telephone poles. And meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. McWorld move in, and they bring a television, they set it on the stage, and everything is, you can just feel the energy is shifting into strangeness. And one of the grandmothers is lured by the television, just looking at it. The other ones are standing there brokenhearted, reaching out. Their sticks are gone. The government guy comes in, and he hands them boxes of lard, sugar, flour, coffee. And meanwhile, the things are going on because you're so distracted by watching the TV, Mr. and Mrs. McWorld. Big Mountain is uncovered, and these spirits and darkness and red flames, these people came out, whirling dervish-type things, screaming and yelling, and that snaps the grandmothers back into consciousness. They realize that they really have to soothe this energy, and so they come out, they take their baskets and their smudge again, and they get strong again. And as they start to do this, they calm the mountain down. The energy and those spirits are removed from the stage, and the other grandmother gets out of the TV zone, and Mr. and Mrs. McWorld kind of stop watching television and look around, and the BIA agents suddenly feel something different. And then these beautiful costumed birds came in from the other side of the stage and started whirling around as if they were drawn by the strength of grandmother's energy of being woken up like that. And at that same time, an entire, that paradigm shift that we're all hoping for comes in from the other side of the stage in the form of a big radiant sun, robed sun, beautiful, vibrational visual prop that they had. And it works. Everybody just starts dancing in unity and moving into a beautiful semicircle. And now the BIA agent and the government man who once fought for these dollar bills to get from that businessman are throwing them back at him. And Mr. and Mrs. McWorld are throwing theirs back. They don't need the dollar bills. And the businessman is confused. And the birds now are just around him because everyone else is in a semicircle. And then they just fly away from him. And he's standing with his bills looking. And no one will take them. And they're giving the ones back that they have. And he finally just throws up his hands and screams. And then he's standing there just like, you know, a person would be completely exposed for the fraud that they are and for actually how weak and sick and almost, you know, pitiable that they would be. He's exposed as that person right there. And then all of the grandmothers, the sheep, everything is lined up, Mr. and Mrs. McWorld, the birds, everyone just gives a couple claps, boom, boom, and points with their finger. And this dark energy in the form of this businessman runs off the stage, and of course the audience just is moved by the piece and bursts into applause and you know, gives you hope. They did a really good job of telling the story, not with any details or anything, but the essence of the conflict, and then a really good job of why we maintain hope and why we keep coming.
Where are we in the terms of the play right now?
We're somewhere in that area where those spirits are right now being released, and this energy is still in a building, but there are some grandmothers that are very conscious and awake. And it's not by any means determined what will happen. It's a neck-and-neck race. In fact, today, or yesterday when I went out to deliver food, I was at one point standing on the ruins of a demolished hogan that just a couple weeks ago a grandmother had been dragged out of there, I'm told, and I could look through a small copse of trees and in the distance see that giant drag line machine that they have that's coming and tearing up just tons and tons of earth with each scoop as they remove the topsoil to prepare for strip mining. It's just coming right there, right to where that hogan was. It's that real. It's that much happening right now. So we're not to the healing stage yet. We're still in the releasing of the darkness and that energy. And I don't want it to sound like I'm down on a businessman or on a person who is trying to make things better, but just that they have a misunderstanding about what it is that they're doing, and that consequently turns their actions to the dark side, you know, to being really unacceptable, especially when you look at it, because it's all being done in the name of overconsumption. We're very comfortable now and could easily be comfortable without that.
You spoke a little bit, or it was mentioned, about the beauty way.
Well, beauty way, as I understand it, and has been, like today I got the fortune to sit with grandmothers that were really old and you know, young children and everybody in between, and have been spending that kind of time with people out here for a while. And what they call the beauty way is walking in balance with what is real and what is given to them as beautiful out here. And that beauty way, it's been so interrupted. You know, these are people who their ancestors were moved from Arizona out to Oklahoma and back here again on the longest walk and now being forcibly relocated. So it's been really disrupted for them. But they have a belief that energy from Mother Earth comes up and comes out of Big Mountain and passes through them as a people on its way out to other people, and that they have a responsibility to walk the beauty way and live in this kind of harmony with what's, you know, Earth has provided in order to make sure that that energy passes through them clearly and gets that out to us and the rest of the world in a good way. So that I've actually heard them sometimes express feelings that they're falling down and they're falling off the beauty way is what's causing us to have such a hard time in the outside world. And they could feel that much empathy or sympathy for us and feel that they were in a position to do something for us despite all of what's out here.
So Hal, give us a little history about this, what you guys are involved in.
Well, I've been coming out here now for 6 years, and I got involved with because this guy in there, I don't know if you talked to Coyote at all, but Coyote lives around the corner from me, and he's been coming out for a couple years before he brought me 1 year. And I play in the band Klandaiken, and ever since then, We've done benefit shows and raised money and consciousness to purchase food and other supply items for people to live out here. And in the last few years, we've done specifically a tour called Revive the Beauty Way. And that tour raises money, energy, awareness, and culminates with the trip out here. And so we bring volunteers with us as well as the food and the supplies. And we encourage, you know, we've had other people who sort of started with us and are now raising money on their own, that we all converge at the same time here to get what turns out to be a beautiful experience. Like you're witnessing, really believe people shine their brightest when they're doing something they really believe in and when they're laboring in love for a higher cause. And so we live that vision as the group of people who come here every year that develops just spontaneously like that. And you know, you're witnessing yourself. People are so beautiful here. The grandmothers themselves inspire us to reach our highest selves. And I know I have a lot of people, the grandmothers and other folks here say thank you to us, and people outside say thank you for coming, but I get a lot more than I'm able to give by coming here. So,
what's set up out there as a network for this?
There have been support groups in almost every major city and even internationally, but it's hard for people to stay with it. It's a really remote issue. It's a really far away issue. And in the 6 years that I've been coming out here, we are now the longest running, continuously, coming back every year organization. And we're not even an organization. We're just a group of folks who do it every year. So for people who are in a major urban area or something like that, they could check to see if there's a Big Mountain support group in their area through alternative resources. Otherwise, we have contact with Media Island in Washington, and I'm sure they have a web page. I don't really know all that off the top of my head, but they maintain an entire listing of all the support groups. And there's also going to be, they're talking about organizing a support group summit here in Flagstaff this possibly spring or summer. So inviting people from all over the place who are either in a support group or want to start one to come together and coordinate our efforts, plus be aware of each other. So those are things to look for. As an activist musician, I mean, that's kind of how we characterize ourselves often, is that every night that I play somewhere, whether that's to an audience of, 30 or 40 people, or sometimes at large concerts and festivals of thousands, it seems like there's this tribe of people who are if not involved, aware, or want to be aware, or want to alter their life or live their life so as to make the best impact possible. And the network that I'm plugged into is one that's really fluid. And the other group that I really encourage people to get in touch with is the Shundahai Network in Las Vegas, who work on Native issues, just because I'm close to them and I know how hard they work and how good they do it. And that keeps us in touch with the nuclear issue, because that's their main focus, and that's the other big issue that myself and the band do a lot of work for. It's environmental racism. It's everywhere you go, the whole nuclear cycle. The mining starts on people of color's land and indigenous people, whether it's here or like Kazakhstan, Russia. The testing of nuclear weapons is done here or Tahiti or somewhere, always, on darker-skinned people's land or in their oceans, somewhere near them. And then when it gets all finished, the cycle's done, then the dumping is being done on Native people's land all over the world. And they're talking about, doing that over in Ward Valley, California, close to the Colorado River. Just all kinds of that environmental racism, and some of it with the most toxic stuff there is. This nuclearism and this uranium mining. Those things are happening right now for Native peoples everywhere. And we're all Native people, so we better wake up. A lot of people say you're protesters, and we're not protesters, we're activists. And what I come to look at is that this is not only this negative environmental problem, it's this opportunity for us to build community, to test our resolve, to be able to face issues that are serious, and yet be good enough about it to enjoy the world as it is, to laugh, to have humor, and to, there's a lot of love here. I would have never met some of these beautiful, wonderful people, I don't think, if we didn't have to, get together and work on causes. So there is an upside to all this, and I'm really happy for all that part of the upside, and I'm just looking forward to the day when we're getting together all the time, and it's all about the dancing and the planting of the corn and, you know, the things that, that really make the life grow. But for now, let's look at these as opportunities and, you know, bring all people together to get over it.